there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me, of course, is Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how are you?
It's Thursday. I'm in love.
Yeah.
Thursday's the best day of the week, buddy.
Yeah. You are a different person, as I say often, after primer, as opposed to pre-primer, where you are a terrible human being, and I try to avoid you at all costs. Well, we've got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking to Vlad Sedler over from Elite Fantasy. You can find him on Twitter at RotoGut. Vlad, are you ready to talk some DFS today?
I am. Thank you for having me on, gentlemen. It's a pleasure.
I'm going to warn both of you, today was flu shot day in the Harris household for the kiddies, so there might be some wailing in the background. There's only like a 5% chance it's me. Other than that, it's 95% chance it's one or both of the kids. Anyway, let's get into it, all right? Because whatever, Tags is in a good mood. That usually only lasts for like 45 minutes, so I want to make the most of it. Here's the plan for today, as it often is on our DFS show. We're going to start with your favorite pricier cash gameplay at each position. Then we're going to discuss a couple of cash game values at each position. We'll do one GPP gamble at each position. We'll do a quick discussion of a defense that you like, and then your stack of the week and your lock of the week. But before we get into that, a couple of things. First, the Daily Juice podcast every morning. It is waiting for you when you wake up. It is a 15-minute podcast breaking down the best bets of the day. It's hosted by Matt Perrault. He's a Vegas guy. He's been out there for years. Doesn't matter the sport, legitimately. Anything you want to bet on, college football, NBA, MLB, UFC, golf, and of course the NFL, where Matt nailed 12 of his 16 picks on this past week. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts or at bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. Now, today we are also going to be talking, of course, about DFS. And that's a good reminder that you should be using our DFS optimizer. That's over at fantasypros.com/optimizer. Saves you hours of research. It supports FanDuel, DraftKings, Fantasy Draft, and Yahoo. It uses projections that are constantly updated, or you can import your own customized projections if you like. It works for MLB, and you can set player exposure limits. Again, that's over at fantasypros.com/optimizer. Now, that's only available to our Hall of Fame subscribers, so if you're not one, we have a special $10 offer for you for 6 months free of our Hall of Fame package. Just go to fantasypros.com/offers for more details. All right, Vlad, let's start with you. Favorite pricier cash game play of the weekend for, let's start with running backs here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with no Christian McCaffrey on this slate, you pretty much only have a few options. And I think the one that really sticks out to me is Derrick Henry. And I believe many of us have that that bad taste in our mouth from the last game, because how could it possibly be that Derrick Henry could bust in a situation like that? His ownership will still be reasonable, probably on DraftKings, 15-20% or so. But man, that Minnesota defense just horrible all around. Over 300 rushing yards allowed on 72 attempts over the last couple of games to start the year. And they're now facing their third bell cow in a row after Aaron Jones and Taylor. Just really feels like a nice bounce back spot for him. I wish he would be lower owned, but I don't think that'll be the case. Probably a slower paced game. Of course, we worry about Henry not catching many passes, but I think he should do the damage on the ground and get the job done for 7,800.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's 8,200 on FanDuel. Also a good, if you're looking for the real pricey play, also the guy who I favor there. How about you, Tags?
I'm not really too into Henry. The only reason I say I'm not into Henry, I thought about him. I really did. But then you look at what Aaron Jones, a phenomenal receiver, and Jonathan Taylor, a guy that caught six passes in the first game. Those guys combined for 19 yards through the air. So basically, you're looking at Derrick Henry, a guy that's not using the passing game, and you're talking about him basically with the way that the league is playing this year, it's almost like you need to go 3X in cash games. It used to be like 2.5 is it. So let me describe that. If you have a player at 8K, you multiply that by 2.5. So basically you need that player to hit 20 points to hit value. Right now it's almost 3K based on the scores that we've seen over the first 2 weeks. So Derrick Henry at 7,800 almost it's like running around 23 fantasy points PPR wise. And if he's not catching any passes, you need almost multiple touchdowns. And it's not to say that he's a bad play, but I feel like this week is not a week to pay up at running back. I don't think you have to go there. I would rather, I mean, the most pricey running back that I would actually like in cash is Austin Eckler at 6,800. And I know that's going way down. He's like the 8th or 9th most expensive running back, but it's 6,800 against Carolina with Justin Herbert under center. They're going to run the ball a whole lot. And Carolina has allowed tons and tons of fantasy points to running backs. Going back to last year, they've allowed 33 rushing touchdowns in the last 18 games. No other team in the NFL has allowed more than I think 18 or 19 of them. So I know that, and I like Joshua Kelly this week, obviously in redraft, but I think Austin Eckler's role is safe. It's 6,800, especially with a pass catcher like him. I just don't feel great about any of the top options with how many times they need to X value. Like Zeke could probably get there, but he's going to handcuff you for the rest of your lineup.
Yeah. Let me ask the guys something, because there's a pretty big difference in the pricing of Jonathan Taylor on DraftKings and FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's 7,000. That's I think the 5th highest running back on there. Are you guys not willing to pay up for that? Because Taylor at this point, I mean, the Jets aren't matchup that you necessarily target because that is the quote unquote strength of their defense. But still, Taylor's going to get the work. You saw what Raheem Mostert did early. Why not him? Because he's one of my value plays on FanDuel, at least, because he's the 14th highest running back on FanDuel. But is he a guy you guys are not considering paying up for?
I think in tournaments, he absolutely somebody that you should consider, even with the matchup against the Jets here, especially with the way that we probably see game script flowing in this one. But I think Tags hit it on the head. In general, these guys that are over 6,500 really over on DraftKings, like, you're just not going to see a lot of people using or paying up for running back this week. The Derrick Henrys, Ecklers of the world, Dalvin Cooks, people are going to sort of hang out in the middle range, even in the cheap range this week.
It is definitely a week when you're looking at the slate, just when you don't have McCaffrey or Barkley, just not really a week to pay up at running back, but it might be a week to pay up at wide receiver, depending on how you come into it. So who is your favorite pricey play at wide receiver, Vlad?
For me, just a little bit off the board, and I know this sounds odd because he's not someone really off the board in general in fantasy because he's been one of the league's best receivers to date, but Calvin Ridley, 7,200 versus Chicago. I do believe that, again, most people, the way pricing is set up, at least on DraftKings, you've got all these guys in the mid-range, you know, people from the massive implied total with Dallas and Seattle, you know, people targeting Cooper, Lockett, Metcalf, and all these guys. You're going to have somebody like Calvin Ridley in a game that could get interesting. And because he's priced up, get overlooked at 7,200. Kind of like it there. I think most people paying up will probably go for Chopkins, AKA Chuck Hopkins this week. So we'll see. But I think Calvin Ridley, especially if Julio is not at full strength, and, you know, maybe this is the year. This is the year that we see Ridley overtake and sort of become the 1A to Julio's 1B, as crazy as it may sound.
It certainly started that way. How about you, Tags? I mean, Ridley, I when I saw it, I said Ridley's got to be the guy that Tags would pay up for, right?
Well, I like Ridley at 7,200. I think he's better at playing tournaments because I don't know if that's a high scoring game. And it like, do the Bears don't actually change their game plan based on whether or not Julio Jones is playing. These guys play cornerbacks side to side. Kyle Fuller is the guy that's on the side of Calvin Ridley the majority of the time. And Fuller is more of like a physical cornerback. He does actually better with bigger wide receivers. Calvin Ridley is just shifty as hell. If the Bears pass rush can get to Matt Ryan, that's going to be the issue to get the ball down the field to him. I do like Ridley, and I have him ranked as a top five player this week in terms of redraft leagues, but they're charging you for him. Like, you're paying 7,200. So again, you're talking about you need 21 plus PPR points. And it's not to say he can't get there, because in games, like if Julio doesn't play, the target floor rises, and that's what would make me like him in cash. Because if you go through the games that Ridley has seen, you know, like 8+ targets, he like always goes off. I do think that he somewhat benefits from Julio, because it's almost like an Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup thing, where people are like, oh, Amari Cooper, he's not as good as Michael Gallup. I'm like, bulls, you know what I'm getting at.
No, what? Please finish. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's
go
kids
ahead.
Listening,
sorry.
Dan.
Sorry, I apologize.
But no, but seriously, so if Julio's not there, does it allow him to focus a little bit more on Calvin Ridley? I don't necessarily think so, because of the coverage they play. So I would like Ridley a little bit in cash, but I don't know how we get away from Hopkins, just because like the targets that he's seen with Kyler Murray in those first two games. And then you look at this matchup with Detroit. Jeff Okuda looked absolutely lost last week. It was his first NFL game. We don't know if he's like fully healthy off that hamstring injury that made him miss week one. He's a rookie. He actually played left cornerback last week on like all of his snaps, which means Amani Arawarie is the other cornerback. He's another backup playing right cornerback. That's where Hopkins lines up typically most of the time. And Oroware is not a starting caliber NFL cornerback. I think he was drafted in the fifth round just last year. He's not someone that you want covering DeAndre Hopkins. It's 7,900. It just feels like if you're going to pay up, that's probably where I would go.
Yeah, I for me as well. Where, out of curiosity, what I don't have DraftKings pulled up in front of me. What number, like how expensive is Calvin Ridley compared to the rest? Is he the second most expensive wide receiver?
He's a third, right behind Julio and Hopkins.
Okay, yes, because Ridley is the second most expensive on FanDuel, but the difference is $300 between him and Hopkins. So if I am going to pay up, for me, you know, I think we're all on the same page, generally speaking, that I would go with Hopkins as well. Let's go to quarterback here. Who is your favorite high-priced quarterback, Vlad?
High-priced quarterback. For me, it's going to be Dak Prescott. And, you know, this is one of those very difficult weeks. Obviously, you've got four guys that I think are going to soak up ownership. Kyler Murray is going to be by far the most popular play this week. And I totally see it. I completely understand it. But I've got him saved for a different section. So here, Dak just, you know, obviously is not going to be scoring multiple rushing touchdowns every single game. And the price is up over 7,000. Just definitely seems like a tough price to pay up for. But if we believe this game is going to absolutely be a bonanza of 55 plus points, as Vegas folks believe, Dak's got to be involved in this. This is going to be one that's going to go to the very end. And Dak's going to be a big part of that. Of course, the only thing that can affect that is if you get a Zeke 3 rushing touchdown game. But I just don't see it here. I believe, you know, Seattle much weaker with their secondary as opposed to stopping the run. And so Dak Prescott, 7,200 and over on FanDuel, a decent price as well, or a decent play as well, though the price is a little high there at the 8,500.
Yeah, that's the issue for me on FanDuel. It's, you know, you've got Wilson at 8,700, Dak at 8,500, Kyler at 8,400. It's tough for me to go with Dak there. How about you, Tags? Who are you looking at?
If I'm paying up in cash, I'm probably going to get to Russ. Dak, it's a coin flip between those two guys for me, because I think they're both fantastic plays. But the reason I say Russ is because he's been a bit more consistent over his career than Dak. And in terms of, like, I remember there was a week last year where Dak played against New Orleans and he was the chalk quarterback. Like, everybody and their grandmother played him and he busted. I don't even think he threw a single touchdown in that game. Now, the way that the Seattle defense is lining up, like, that, it should be a massive game for Dak, and I think that he's someone that you should probably look at stacking in DFS because the Seahawks, through two games, they've allowed six wide receivers to finish as top 31 options. Like, so, you know, Amari, CeeDee Lamb, and Gallup should all have good games here. So, I mean, all six of those wide receivers did have 9+ targets, so I should definitely include that. Whereas Russell Wilson, it feels different than years past, where, you know, in years past, we've seen this team be a very run heavy team. Like, if they take a lead, they're going to run the ball. They ran the ball early in the game. Basically, if it was a neutral game script, they were going to run the ball, you know, more than half the time. This year, they're allowing him to work on screens. They're trying to get those numbers boosted up. And Russell Wilson's playing, I mean, lights out. The best he has the best skill position players around him he's ever had. And in the same game where he's projected for his team implied total is 5 more points than Dak Prescott, that just makes me lean Wilson a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's where I would go as well. I mean, I think of the top three, as I mentioned, on FanDuel, 8,700 for Russ, 8,500 for Dak, 8,400 for Kyler. Dak's probably my third choice of those. And I'd probably lean Kyler. We all like Kyler Murray this week. We've basically said so. But I think given this floor with the rushing and everything like that, he'd probably be my favorite play just in there. But I probably would favor Russ, considering how close it is with Dak, if I'm choosing between those two. Let's go to tight end here. Vlad, who's your favorite pricey play?
Well, on DraftKings, it's interesting because I guess pricing is all relative because there's nobody above 6K other than George Kittle. And we're not even 100% sure that he's going to be playing. And I see a lot of people going to Darren Waller. I know he's dealing with a little knee issue. I think he'll be fine, but I think he'll definitely soak up some of that ownership. And of course, people chasing the Tyler Higbee 3 touchdowns from last week, not interested there at Buffalo. For me, it's actually Zach Ertz, 5,100, just perfectly priced play. I really like this game. I think it's a sneaky, and we'll talk about that later, I'm sure. But, no Jalen Reagor there anymore, at least for now. And the price has gone down to the point where it's just ridiculous. And folks are off of Ertz with Goddard there and, two mediocre games, basically. And so I really did want to mention TJ Hawkinson. I know Arizona has been doing their best to stop opposing tight ends. And Hawk has a matchup. Basically, Simmons will be in the mix there, but over Chris Banjo, the safety there, almost 40 pounds and 7-inch advantage, although I'm sure I'll have a couple people guarding him. But for me, Hawkinson, but Zach Ertz above him. Zach Ertz first at 5,300.
And what is Hawkinson's price on DraftKings?
Hawk is 50.
He's 53. He's more than Ertz.
Oh, wow. That's why it's tough. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's what I want to confirm. All right. How about you, Tags? Because then I'll get into FanDuel a little bit because the pricing's pretty different.
Yeah. Ertz is where I'm at, too. 5,100. Yeah. The Cincinnati Bengals team, they've been kind of beaten by the run recently. Not to say that that's not going to happen again, but if you go back to last year, they allowed the 6 most points per target to tight ends. I already talked about it, between Ertz and Goddard, I think both of them are playable in DFS, season long, whatever you want to do. They're both fantastic options at 5,100 and 4,900 on DraftKings, because I set the over-under on their targets for this game at 15, and I would be tempted to bet the over.
Yeah, for me, I think the answer is none. Like, I'm not paying up for tight end this week. The options aren't there. And on FanDuel, Ertz is 6,200 and 400 behind Waller. That's too. I want him to be less. I want him to be priced more like he is on DraftKings. I do have tons of faith in Ertz this week, so I do want to make that clear. I'd prefer him over the Tyler Higbee or the Hunter Henry who's around him. But yeah, you can get Hawkinson significantly cheaper, $800 cheaper, and that's. I'm not going to be spending up, I'm sure, on tight end all that much. But if there is one guy, it would be Ertz. So I think we're all on the same.
And for those listening, because Vlad said it, that Darren Waller might be a popular choice. I'm worried about that matchup. I think it's very possible that New England uses Stephon Gilmore to cover Darren Waller, because there's really no other physical wide receiver. Like, are they going to have him cover Bryan Edwards, a guy that's seen 2 targets in each of the first 2 games? Or, he's not a Ruggs guy. So they're going to bracket Ruggs, I would assume. And it would make sense. So when you look at Bill Belichick, what he does well, he attacks your weakness, he takes away your strength, and your strength is Darren Waller.
Yeah, absolutely. Through the passing game, Waller is not a guy. I mean, if you have him in season-long leagues, you're starting him, of course, right, because he's Darren Waller, but he certainly, your expectation should be managed this week, and he's not a DFS play. We're all in agreement there as well. Not for me. All right, guys, before we get into our cash value plays, do you like it when your power goes out, or when you order a food delivery and it's wrong, or when your fantasy team loses on a stat correction late in the week? Well, guess what? You will find none of those things over at Pristine Auction. Here is what you will find instead. Every type of football or other sports memorabilia that you could want. Thousands of auctions every day, only the most authentic items, and incredible prices. Seriously, Jerry Jeudy, signed jersey, $43 even. Devontae Parker, signed jersey, $44.07. Just go to pristineauction.com. Browse around for a while. It's free to do. It's free to register. It's free to bid. You only pay when you win an item. Go to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Just look around. You're going to see everything you could want, and you're going to find something definitely to bid on. You want $5 in free credits? Use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up. They'll know we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS. All right, let's go to cash game value plays here. Let's start at running back. Vlad, why don't you give me a value play or two that you have at running back for cash?
I mean, it's pretty much what everyone else is going to have here, and I'm okay with it. I think in tournaments is where you can look to differentiate, because Chalk always does find a way of busting, whether it be injury or whatever. But Miles Sanders, 6,400 at home against Cincy, healthy, tons of carries, catches, passes, good game script there. So Miles Sanders, I'm on board for that good chalk. And then Kenyon Drake, unfortunately, the ownership's going to be pretty high there, but just, you know, again, a home matchup, very nicely priced there at 6,000. Yes, Kyler Murray, Chase Edmonds are guys that could basically steal his goal line red zone carries and affect him from really being able to hit that 2.5-3x value. But man, it's got to be a Drake game at some point here, right?
Yeah, and Tags, you mentioned it yesterday, I think, when Drake came up, and be like, no, we're just going to talk about him tomorrow. So is he one of your value plays at cash? Or
yeah, 100%. Like, I'll eat the chalk, even if it is that. I don't know if people are going to do it, because a lot of people want to flock to Kyler as their cash game quarterback, and that's the reason that I'm fading Kyler in cash, actually. And that's why I would rather, it's either I'm going to go up or down at quarterback. And I think I'm going to go up to Russ this week, because I think Drake can actually like crush Kyler Murray's upside in this game. Cause I think it's possible that Drake walks away with multiple touchdowns. This is another team that's projected for like 30 points in the game, a home favorite. All the signs are there for Kenyon Drake. He's received 73% of the workload between him and Chase Edmonds. So it's not a timeshare. It's his backfield. Love him there. And Miles Sanders, I am on board with both those plays. Those are the two guys I'm playing. And I think some people, you know, Vlad, you said they were going to be chalk, and I agree to a certain extent, but I also think that some people are going to get cute. I think they're going to try and go down to 5,100 for Mike Davis. I think they're going to go down to 4,700 for Antonio Gibson. And I would rather just take these three down workhorses and just say, I am riding these guys, because we don't feel the need to spend up at wide receiver this week. And again, we're not paying for one of the high priced running backs. So why would we feel the need to skimp on running backs, the most important position?
Oh, and you know, you might even see some folks go with the San Francisco guys, especially yeah, Jeff yeah. Wilson.
I mean, Dan might go with McKinnon.
I might. There's no shame in where I have McKinnon ranked this week. No shame whatsoever. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Vlad.
Oh, no. I mean, you guys hit the nail on the head there. I mean, even Jeff Wilson, I mean, he's minimum salary, 4,000. I mean, every time, what's his like touch to touchdown rate, right? It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, Tags is pretty high on Wilson. We talked about that a lot yesterday we differed a little bit on who the more
valuable. Which one would you on in a half PPR format? Yep. Let's just get this out of the way. In a half PPR format, who would you start, Wilson or McKinnon?
Oh man, I do think Wilson gets the early down carries. I don't think they want to just absolutely blow McKinnon out and give him a boatload of carries. And I think Wilson's going to get the short yardage carries. So I think I would go Wilson. And that's mm-hmm. me going against the grain and being contrarian, because I believe most
that is correct, though, sir.
No, Vlad, I'm sorry, you are incorrect. I'm glad you came on. I'm glad somebody supported Tagged, but that no, like they're very, we like both of them, to be clear, and wherever we end up with them in our rankings, I'm 99% sure I'm still going to have McKinnon ahead, but Wilson certainly has moved up. And again, there is buzz about him and how much work he's going to get. And don't forget, he has had games in the past. I mean, it's a couple of years ago at this point, but he has had games in the past where he's had more than 20 carries. Like, he can do it if he needs to. And if they're worried about McKinnon, Tags, you mentioned how few carries he's gotten so far. And on that turf, by the way, that everybody is terrified of, a guy like McKinnon, you may want to protect. But I'm still going McKinnon, so everybody quiet down. For me, for FanDuel, it's a little different because of the pricing. Like, I like Miles Sanders, but I almost included him in my pricier play of the day because he's 7,400 on FanDuel. He's much more expensive there. I love the play. I'd love to get Miles Sanders into a DFS lineup.
Isn't Jonathan Taylor like 5,700 over there?
He's 6,700, but that's the 14th highest running back. So for me, that's a cash game value play that I would like to go on. But Kenyon Drake also is the guy. You have these guys on FanDuel, especially, there's just not that much of a difference in the pricing between a guy like Drake and even a guy like McKinnon or a guy like Joshua Kelly, who I like a lot. There's just, you know, the minimum price difference that you're going to need to play. So for me, Taylor on FanDuel, because he's such a bargain as compared to his pricing on DraftKings, is a guy who I like as a value play in cash games. I like Miles Sanders a lot, but again, on FanDuel, that's more of, okay, are you spending up at running back? Because that's where they have him priced, but I do think he's going to have a huge day. And Drake, of course, for all the reasons that you guys said, he's a value as well on FanDuel. Let's go to, actually, let me do this. I know that's where we are, but let me throw out a couple of guys with their prices on DraftKings. And I'm saying you are forced to play these, Vlad, so you can't say, oh, none of them, just give me this guy. Okay, you're forced to play one of these guys. Who are you choosing? Joe Mixon, 5,900 against the Eagles. Todd Gurley, 5,800 against Chicago. Melvin Gordon, 5,800. Or David Montgomery, 5,700 against Atlanta. It's against the, by the way, Melvin Gordon against the Bucs. Sorry, I think I skipped that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Mixon. And I think that's just because I like that game in general. And at some point, he's going to have to catch some passes. Him and Burrow are going to have to get on the same page. Even in a negative game script, I mean, he's going, which is very likely the case, you know, he's going to be involved, hopefully, as a pass catcher maybe this week. I like Mixon in a GPP stack, you know, if you're stacking up Phillies with Mixon on the way back, to be honest.
Oh, I like that. Okay, how about you, Tags? Is that, would he be your favorite? Mixon, Gurley, Gordon, and Montgomery?
That was absolutely the correct answer. And like when I first started going through this week, I saw Mixon 5,900. I was like, oh, he's going to be in my cash game. And then I got to Sanders and Drake, and I was like, well, maybe not. But 5,900 is a deal for Mixon. If you want to play him in cash, I have no issue with it.
You guys agree too much, but I love it. Let's go to wide receiver. Cash game value plays. Vlad, go ahead, start us off.
For me, the two guys that really stick out are Amari Cooper and Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. And both are basically in that range right there. I mean, you know, I guess I was a week early on Allen Robinson last week, just a really big disappointment. And I thought there'd be a little bit of a squeaky wheel thing, especially with the contract situation. And, you know, just it did not ended up being his game. But at Atlanta, you know, on the fast track, I mean, it just doesn't set up any better for him. So I very much like him. And I like the slight price reduction there. 6,900 on FanDuel, a little bit tougher to pay up for. Don't think he's going to be very popular over there. And then Amari Cooper, I mean, you know, last week, it just didn't work out for me. It was like, you know, hey, it's Michael Gallup week. You know, every week I'm just, you know, thinking it's going to be Michael Gallup week. And it was Amari again. And so, you know, I don't want to keep mistiming things over here. And I'm happy to play both in a tournament setting. But I think for cash, just the connection and rapport that him and Dak have, the floor with the targets. And he's been doing this without getting in the end zone as well. So at some point he's going to get in, especially with, you know, 28, 30 points projected for these guys. So those are the two that I like in the mid range.
Yeah, I like Robinson a lot this week, but you hit the nail on the head that on FanDuel, it's just the pricing isn't really where I want it to be. Let's go to you, Tags. How about you? Two cash game value plays.
Love both of those calls. Both fantastic. The Falcons have already allowed four different receivers to score 16 plus PPR points, and none of those wide receivers even saw double digit targets. AJ Terrell and Isaiah Oliver are not very good. I love Robinson this week. Great play. I also think that Cooper is fantastic. You know who, when he was coming into the league, he was a smaller version of Amari Cooper, was Calvin Ridley. And both those Alabama wide receivers, Ridley learned from Amari Cooper in terms of like the steps that he gets off the line. They're both route running savants. Like they're just dudes that like literally will break your ankles. And Ridley destroyed this defense for 9 catches, 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Cowboys, again, they have so many options in this team. You can't just focus on one. You can't walk in and say, Amari Cooper, we're going to take him away. But the best part about Amari, his role hasn't changed at all with the addition of CeeDee Lamb. You know, CeeDee Lamb, if anything, he's just taken a little bit of attention away. Michael Gallup is the one who suffered the most in this role because Zeke is still getting some targets. He's still getting all the carries. So, yeah, I love Amari as well. If you want to go down cheaper, there's two guys that I like in the mid-range. Terry McLaurin at 5,900. I think he's fantastic play. Like, he's their go-to. And the Browns have not shadowed with Denzel Ward, so they can kind of move him where they want to. And then Deontay Johnson at 5,400.
Yeah, that's the guy.
You don't get a wide receiver that has a 31% target share in the 5K range. You just don't do it. Like we talk about Allen Robinson, we're playing him because he's a discounted stud. Deontay Johnson is like making his way into stud territory. Houston doesn't necessarily have a shutdown corner. Bradley Roby is fine, but he might be tracking Juju because he has played in the slot a little bit. So Deontay Johnson, 5,400. I just don't think we're going to see his price there very much longer.
Yeah, on DraftKings, that was a guy who stuck out at 5,400. On FanDuel, 6,300, still a fine price. But, you know, I don't think that really matches necessarily what you're paying there. I love Johnson. Certainly, he's got 23 targets, I think, through two games. And yeah, even if it's Roby, I don't really think it matters given his target volume. A guy I like, and this is interesting, Tags, because we kind of talked him down yesterday as sort of starts hit, but I don't mind DJ Moore in cash games. And I know we don't like Casey Hayward, but Tags, they're going to need to throw the ball to someone. Like that is what it's going to have to be. And he is going to get the targets. He's got 23 targets. He only has 12 receptions. His efficiency is going to come up. So in a cash game play, that's a guy, I don't love him for season-long plays, but given where his price is, he's somebody who I'm willing to target. Now, I know we talked about him, and we have him, low 20s for this week, right?
But again, if we're talking cash, it's 3x. You're telling me that you think he's going to score 18 PPR points. I think that's close to his ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, it's
he's more of a tournament play for me.
And more of a FanDuel play for me. But that's fine. I think that's fine. For FanDuel, I think that's somebody who, yeah, I do think that he's going to be able to, just because...
I mean, he's more expensive than McLaurin. That's the part that's just like bananas.
That is also... I didn't look at McLaurin necessarily, but let me give you a couple of similar...
Vlad, what do you think about DJ Moore? I just want to make sure that I'm not off my rocker here.
I mean, he's a tournament play, I think, only. And for me in general, you just have to assume every single week in these type of scenarios that one of those the receivers are viable in that type of situation, even in a tough matchup against, like the Chargers secondary. The one thing that gives me a little pause is Robbie Anderson's role, just the fact that he's had 18 targets over his first two games and has hit over 100 yards in each of those two games. So kind of redefining his profile a little bit and maybe taking a little bit away from DJ Moore.
I mean, the thing is, though, Moore has had 23 targets and there is no Christian McCaffrey at this point. And that's why when I looked at it, I don't love Moore again. I'm still going to start him in season-long formats. He's a little down. But I do think, just given the target volume, I it's tough for me to see him not putting up at least decent point totals. But let me move to a couple of similarly ranked guys. Robinson is going to be your favorite here, so I'm going to take him out of the equation and pretend that you can't take Allen Robinson. Okay, he's off the table. Let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. versus Washington at 6,300. Cooper Kupp at Buffalo, 6,300. Julian Edelman against the Raiders at 6,200. Or Kenny Galladay at Arizona at 6,200. Who are you taking out of those guys, Vlad? And if you need the names again, let me know.
No, Edelman would probably be my guy there. And I'm not just box score chasing from his career receiving yards high from last week, from this Monday, actually. Just the fact that I think it's a fantastic matchup for him, and the price is still reasonable, and he's just a target monster. So on DraftKings, I think it's a phenomenal play there.
How about you, Tags?
I would also say Edelman, but I'm not going to play any of those guys.
Okay, well, again, Allen Robinson is 6,200, so sounds like that's more the guy. Let's go to quarterback, Vlad. Any cash value game plays that you like at quarterback?
I mean, I'm fine with Kyler. I was a little bit... underexposed on the field with him last week. And just, I mean, is he really going to score a rushing touchdown every single game and just put up 30 plus points? I don't know. This is a great spot for him. I like him again. On FanDuel, it's a little bit of a different scenario. It's just really hard to pass on Cam Newton because of the price discount. I mean, he's 7,700, nearly 1,000 less than Wilson, considerably cheaper than Prescott and Kyler. So for me, Cam Newton, just a fantastic play. And he's someone who might score a rushing touchdown every game.
He is the best cash game value play on FanDuel, without question. At 7,700, he was tops on my list. How about you, Tex?
I think Ryan Tannehill is a guy that I would trust in a cash lineup. At 5,900, he's cheap. I mean, I feel like fantasy owners or DFS players or whoever is treating Ryan Tannehill like Bruce Arians treats Ronald Jones. He's just waiting for him to screw up so he could jump all over him. And Tannehill hasn't done it. Like, if you go back to like when he took over as a starter in Tennessee last year, he has been a top five quarterback consistently, and he does not bust. Like, he doesn't have games where he just disappears, where he scores, 10 fantasy points. He continually puts up fantasy points, even without AJ Brown last week. So against Minnesota, a defense that's decimated, a defense that's been crushed through the first couple weeks, I think he's fine at 5,900 in cash if you want to save some money.
Yeah, how do you feel about that, Vlad? Because I was going to list a couple of guys who you could save money on in cash on DraftKings, but Tannehill is always right in that range. The guy's at 5,900. Wentz at Cincinnati at 5,800, Herbert at Carolina at 5,900, Rivers against the Jets at 6,000. Is Tannehill the guy that you go with if you're in that range?
I mean, I think I'm willing to take a shot on Carson Wentz after two bad games. No interest the last 2 weeks. This week, I'm interested in Wentz. I think that's just a little bit where I differ with you, Tags. Just, I don't know, just feels like a Henry game to me. It feels like sort of a slow-paced endeavor here. And, I mean, I love Tannehill, his weapons. The matchup is great. Obviously, Minnesota's secondary is horrendous. I just wonder how much Minnesota can actually hang in this game, even though they're at home.
All right, let's go to tight end here. Cash game value play for you, Vlad, at tight end.
I'm going to eat the chalk here. I'm going to go Logan Thomas, just 3,700. Price is not adjusted because he ended up busting last week. But at the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, McLaurin, you already mentioned, who's a fantastic play, but the price difference there is tremendous. Cleveland's already allowed 50 total DraftKings points over these last two games to opposing tight ends. Just way too cheap. Target share is up there, and fine with the chalk there. 3,700, too good of a price to pay.
Yeah, he's a little more expensive on FanDuel, but I mean, Thomas just, you know, because we talked about him last week and everybody was really, I mean, he got nine targets, you know, eventually he's running a route on every single pass play. That's basically what he does. And you did mention the Browns. They played Mark Andrews in week one, but then, you know, Uzama and Sample last week looked great. So I do think they're a matchup that you can exploit with tight ends. So Thomas is a good play there. How about you, Tags?
Yeah, there's three tight ends in the cheap range that if you're thinking about, that I'm definitely thinking about. It is Drew Sample, Logan Thomas, and if Jack Doyle does not play, Mo Alie-Cox is going to be the guy at 3,800. He kind of flashed last week. We already know that Phillip Rivers, I talked about it before the season, that the reason I like Paris Campbell coming into the year is because Phillip Rivers has always had that safety valve over the middle of the field, whether it be a slot receiver, his tight ends, whatever. And the slot usage, T.Y. Hilton's not playing in the slot. Right now, Zach Pascal is expected to take that role in the slot. He did when Campbell left the game. And Pascal is who he is at this point. But Mo Alie-Cox is the one that he leaned on last week, an athletic tight end, a guy that against the Jets without Jamal Adams, they just don't look like the same defense without Jamal Adams defending tight ends at that. So Alie-Cox, but if Doyle plays, you kind of have to scratch that. It's either Logan Thomas or Drew Sample, just depending on the cash you have available, because there's a $200 difference between those guys.
Yeah, all right. I don't think there's really this, like, let's break down three guys in the same range that you choose from, because wherever range we have, I think there are clear favorites in that, Ertz being the guy, you know, that we mentioned, who's in that sort of TJ Hockenson, who we also like, or Jonnu Smith. You know, Ertz is probably the guy. All right, we are talking some DFS here, and if you play DFS, you have surely played on FanDuel. If you haven't, now is the time to start, because if you sign up now, you're going to get a free entry to a contest each week of the football season where you can win real prizes. And if you make a deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. Now, maybe you're sitting there and saying, well, Dan, that doesn't really apply to me. I already have an account. I've already made my first deposit. That's fair, but you know what does apply to you? Snake drafts. That's right. You know, classic DFS, you build your team by staying under the salary cap. How do you feel about a daily snake draft? Draft your team live. You and your opponents draft six players in a six-round draft with 30 seconds per pick. No salary cap, just the best part of fantasy drafting. And with FanDuel, it's quick, it's easy, it's super fun. You can do a new one each week. Just go to FanDuel.com/FantasyPros or download the FanDuel Fantasy app to play now. That's FanDuel.com/FantasyPros. FanDuel, more ways to win. Let's start with running back. Vlad, go ahead and give us your GPP gamble.
Oh, man. You guys may never have me on the show after this one, or maybe you'll love me. James Conner. Nobody's going to play James Conner. These are, you know, these type of gambles. Actually, all my gambles, pretty much, I think are going to see virtually no ownership. Conner's looked fantastic, healthy, since reclaiming that role last week, in over 75% of snaps. The word of his demise was a bit premature, ran for over 100 yards. Now he's at home against this Houston run defense that's basically allowing over 200 yards per game on the ground over the first two. I think he's an interesting and an intriguing pivot off Sanders and Drake in that middle range. I don't think anyone's going to own him. I think game flow is going to work to his advantage. Maybe Benny Snell will get in there a little bit, maybe a little Jalen Samuels for a couple snaps. But other than that, I think it's a good week for Conner to eat and possibly get into the end zone a couple times.
I actually think that's a great call, because I don't think that he's going to be highly owned in tournaments. And I do think that in the end, you saw it right off. I mean, for all the talk, it was pretty shocking, I think, that Conner really just stepped right back in and was exactly what the coach said he was going to be, right? I mean, he said he was going to be the bell cow back. And as soon as he was healthy, he was. So I really like that play, and I don't think he's going to be particularly owned. Let's go to you, Tags.
Yeah, I like Conner. I also like Chris Carson. Same exact reasoning in terms of like pivoting off the guys that are considered chalk. Because guys, when they go to tournaments, they don't overthink the running back position. They just take the values that they love, which is Miles Sanders, Kenyon Drake. So that means that guys like James Conner, guys like Chris Carson are going to go overlooked. Last week, we did see them go back to Conner a little bit more on the ground, get back into the double-digit carries. But he's being used in the passing game. Everything that you look for in an explosion game. You're looking for a running back that's at home and a positive game script as a favorite. They're heavy favorites, and they have a 30.5-point implied team total, which is just stupid. So, I mean, at 6,600, he's not even going to cripple your lineup. I mean, I like Chris Carson quite a bit.
Yeah, that's a good play. For me, the guy was Connor, so we can move on to wide receiver here. One GPP gamble at wide receiver. Go ahead, Vlad.
I'm going to go with DeSean Jackson. Have not been interested these first couple of weeks. This is finally the time. 16 targets over his first couple games. Reasonably priced enough there at 5,200, but not to the point where people are going to go out of their way to play him. I mean, one of these games, they've got to connect on one or two deep shots. Both of these teams top 10 in pace, although it's only been a couple of weeks of the season. I guess the only concern here would be Philly just pulling away early, but maybe gets one going on in the first quarter early on in the game. I think Joe Burrow, only two games of NFL experience, but I think between his talent, his wherewithal, and just enough weapons on the Cincinnati offense to possibly keep this one close. So Sean Jackson, I think, is going to be very low rostered, and I'm a big fan this week.
Yeah, this is a game you're targeting there, Vlad. You seem to like pretty much everyone on the Eagles, huh? That's kind of where you're going, generally speaking.
It's weird. It wasn't something that I was thinking early in the week, but the gut starts hitting in certain ways. Not always right, but we'll see how it works this week.
All right, let's go to your tags, GPP, wide receiver.
Making me choose one, it's really tough. I mean,
I will give you are allowed to choose two.
Okay, I will say Mike Williams at 4,300. There's multi-touchdown scenarios in that game. I know that everybody's going to – like, the weird thing is nobody's playing the Chargers running backs, and then nobody's playing the Chargers wide receivers. There's going to be points in this game. They're going to score a lot of points. So I feel like someone's going to be under-owned here. And if you're taking a shot in a tournament, 4,300 makes a ton of sense on Mike Williams. And then Darius Slayton at 4,900. You know, the 49ers secondary is not all there. Their pass rush is absolutely gone. And if you remember what they looked like before having Bosa on that team, it was a team that we continually attacked in fantasy matchups. So Slayton with the concentrated targets, with Sterling Shepard out, with Saquon Barkley gone, the running back position. I don't even know if Devonta Freeman's going to play this week. There's a lot going on there, whereas Darius Slayton is like a guy that I could say I would expect 8+ targets for him in this game. And I know it's not the same terrible matchup it was just a couple weeks ago. So at 4,900, he makes some sense.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. For me, a guy who, I don't love the price, but I don't think many people are going to be on him. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, at least on FanDuel, and that's T.Y. Hilton at 6,200. I think that most people are going to expect that the Colts are just going to run nonstop. They're huge favorites. And I think that is fair, but I do think that T.Y. Hilton has played terribly in the first two games, whether the sun was in his eyes and dropping that touchdown pass or whatever. But you have no Paris Campbell. Phillip Rivers is going to throw. The targets are going to need to go somewhere. I like Michael. I don't hate Michael Pittman Jr. either. But for me, T.Y. Hilton is a guy who's in the same price range as a lot of guys who we like. I mean, Deontay Johnson, stuff like that. I think that in tournaments, I think he's just not going to be that owned. And I think it's a pivot play that you can make for that, because I do expect Hilton to probably outperform what the perception of his production is going to be. Let's go to quarterback here. One GPP gamble. Go ahead,
Bob. Oh, man. This is tough. I think I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to say Mitch Trubisky. I have a feeling you guys may not like this game, but under 6K over on DraftKings, cheap as well over on FanDuel. He can really screw us over, but it really does fall into a very nice scenario here. Just targeting opposing passing offenses against this Atlanta defense, just so incredibly porous, especially in Atlanta in this fast-paced dome. Trubisky's kind of low across the board in all the projections, just about everywhere you look. Everyone's going towards the quarterbacks with the 50+ totals. It's very concentrated where that ownership is going to go. But as far as GPP plays, I've already made it clear that I like Allen Robinson. Someone's got to get him the ball. I assume it's not going to be Nick Foles. So Mitch Trubisky's my guy.
Yeah, no, I'm tagged. I assume you like that play, right?
Oh, yeah, he's an easy one to stack too. I mean, if you want to put Robinson in there, if you want to put Tariq Cohen in there, 4,300, the Falcons under Dan Quinn have allowed the most running back receptions since he became the head coach. So there's a lot of reasons to like them there. I mean, Anthony Miller, if he can get on the field, that would be great. But yeah, it's an easy one to stack. So I like Trubisky.
Okay. Any other GPP plays for you, Tags?
Wentz. You know, Vlad already brought him up as a value. I like Wentz in tournaments as a guy that nobody wants to own because everybody's mad at him. I legit have Eagles fans saying that, we should have Foles back. And I'm like, you guys can have him. Like, as a Bears fan, to hear people talk about we don't want Carson Wentz as our quarterback, you guys can go straight to, whatever. But, yeah, at 5,800, I mean, it's a value. And, again, you could stack him relatively easy.
Yeah, come be a Jets fan for a little bit and then talk to me about Carson Wentz. All right, let's go to tight end here. 1GPP gamble for you, Vlad.
So this guy is basically going to be about 1% owned, and I might be on an island here, but that's okay. It's going to be Fant Island, or Font, depending on what part of the country you're in.
It's Fant.
I mean...
Wait, do people actually say Font?
In the Southern Los Angeles region, we say Font. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry.
You've got no reason to go here. You got the lowest total on the board. You've got Tampa Bay. That's obviously a pretty solid defense, although starting to show a little bit of a difference. They're not quite the pass funnel, actually been a little bit stronger against the run. Driscoll and Font connect. Fant connected really quick on a touchdown. Man. When Driscoll came in and hopped into that game. He's just an athletic freak. It really, just takes one broken play for him to hit value. You've got him pretty much as the top passing option there with Cortland Sutton out, negative game script most likely. And the other weapons really are a couple of rookies with not very much experience. One of them who's been banged up and one that is now between Hamler and Jerry Jeudy. So for me, Noah Fant is very intriguing at 5,400.
How about you, Tex?
I don't really want to say it, but I'll say it because, again, it's one of those players that we're talking about taking a Hail Mary shot on. But Austin Hooper at 4,400, he's not priced down as nearly as much as he should be. But Washington, if you look at the fantasy points that they've allowed to the skill position players, 28.5% of those have gone to tight ends, which ranks as the third highest mark in the league. Hooper hasn't really lived up to his biggest tight end contract of all time before Kittle and Kelsey. So they need to get him a little bit more involved in the offense, and this is a chance for him to do that.
All right, let's go to defense here. Tags, I assume your answer is whoever the cheapest.
It's the Jets, dude. I mean, it's your team. It's your favorite team in the whole entire world. It's the Jets.
All of that is incorrect. Not my favorite team in the world, thankfully, just my second. So I'm only quasi-miserable. I mean, Vlad, is that what you do, by the way, at defense? Do you just take whatever the cheapest defense is, essentially, and just roll with it, or what?
Not always, and that's sort of the thing, I think, because... just because it's worked out as far as the chalk, like Washington football team week one, right? You just take that bottom guy in best matchup and it ends up working out. It's not going to happen every single week. And I want a nice little floor. So maybe in cash, I'm fine with that. But in
out of curiosity, guys, I'm sorry, just to make it clear, where are the Jets priced? Are they the cheapest defense in DraftKings?
They are the cheapest. They're the only ones that are in salary at Indy.
Okay, the Jets are like the 15th. They're right in the middle. They're on the higher end, frankly, of defenses in FanDuel. I just want to put that out there. So don't do that. Okay, don't pay up for the Jets defense. But go ahead, Vlad.
I mean, I think this is a type of week where with salaries a little bit looser and being able to get some of these value plays in, especially if you like a Jeff Wilson, for example, or some of these cheaper receivers, I think it's a week to spend up to be contrarian with a team like the Pittsburgh defense. 4,000, nobody's going to go there. No one's even going to be interested in it. But the fact that you've got a huge mismatch with one of the best defensive lines in the game against Houston's offensive line just has to be the absolute worst in football. The first 2 weeks, I understand the Chiefs and Ravens, very good D-lines, but 4 sacks apiece on Watson in those games. We never want to obviously try to predict defensive touchdowns, but if there's ever a game or high likelihood of that happening, I think it's in this one. So Pittsburgh defense is my play of the week.
I like it. All right, let's go to our stack of the week and our lock of the week. Let's start with our stack of the week. Go ahead, Vlad, start us off.
I guess I'm just moving on the Cincinnati-Philadelphia game. I'm totally fine. In a three max entry scenario, I think you need to have some exposure to the Dallas and Seattle game. Obviously, Arizona and Detroit is up there as well, especially if Kenny Galladay is back. But Cincy-Philadelphia, I think, is the sneaky one here. I think it's okay to even go with Sanders and Wentz together as part of a game stack, even though there's somewhat of a negative correlation, but he does catch passes from him. And plus, you're kind of getting all of the touchdown equity from those guys. Pair with DeSean Jackson, Zach Ertz. You can run it back with AJ Green, Boyd, Mixon. So game stack, I think Cincinnati Philly is a sneaky one in a high pace scenario.
How about you, Tex?
Yeah, that was the stack I actually had down. I know that I didn't talk to Vlad before about this, but that was actually the stack that I would be going with in that game. Another one, if I were to say, I would find somehow to get the guys together in the Seahawks-Cowboys game. There's a lot of expensive options, but if you can pair Russ with, like, I wouldn't even be worried to pair him with Chris Carson, Amari Cooper, and then maybe even take a shot on someone like Will Disley to score a touchdown. He's the minimum at 3K. That game is going to net a lot of fantasy points. It's just finding the right pieces to it.
We just play our boy Jeff Wilson, right? Make it all fit.
There you go. Jam him in.
On you, Jeff Wilson, top 10 running back, both from Vlad and Tags. You heard it there. Okay, lock of the week. Vlad, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Allen Robinson, 690 and a touchdown. Not going to quite guarantee you the bonus. If you get the bonus, it's a cherry on top, but a big game from Allen Robinson.
Oh, I love it. All right, Tags, go ahead. Lock of the week.
Kenyon Drake. He's going to be in pretty much all my lineups, and I'm okay with it. That Detroit run defense is, like, legit terrible. Like, they moved on from Snack Harrison, and it was the dumbest thing they could have done. Matt Patricia is going to get fired before long. Kenyon Drake is going to help him get there.
Yeah, Drake's a great call. All right, guys, that's it. Vlad, I know you got to get going, so thanks for coming on. Remind everybody where they can find more of you and your work.
So I am on Twitter at RotoGut, and you can find my work over at Elite Fantasy on the DFS side of things. Write a quarterback article breakdown every single week, and then on the season-long side, Fantasy Guru. Guys, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to talk with you guys.
Yeah, it was great talking to you, Vlad. And again, if you play in season-long leagues and baseball, football, whatever it is, Vlad is the best at crafting fab bids of any human being that exists on the planet.
I've legitimately
never seen that. If you follow him, you will see him post his winning fab bids, and they are somehow always $4 higher than whatever the other giant bid was. So he is a master at that. So certainly check him out there. All right, don't forget to check out our DFS lineup optimizer over at fantasypros.com/optimizer. Thanks to Pristine Auction. Remember, thousands of auctions every single day. Autographed sports memorabilia all day long. PristineAuction.com. That's PRISTINE auction.com. And finally, FanDuel. Try their new snake drafts. Get a free entry into a contest all season long. Get a 20% deposit match on your first deposit up to $500. Just go to FanDuel.com/fantasypros. We'll be back tomorrow breaking down every game from this weekend. We'll talk to you then.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.